The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Could you approve somebody without having met them?
Yes, I could, and say this is reasonable to proceed.
Did she have liver lesions?
No.
No.
Did she have breast cancer?
No.
Did she have toxic pestisemia, toxins from rats?
No.
Did she have arsenic poisoning?
No. No.
Did you know all of this when looking at her application?
I have the same records they have.
That's Dr. Lawrence Egbert. He's a former medical director for Final Exit Network, an assisted suicide group, being interviewed by Sonia Gupta of CNN, along with the family of Jaina Van Voorhis, who is a woman that was assisted in her suicide by Final Exit Network. Joining us, there's actually a lawsuit stemming from this story, and Final Exit Network has long been on the radar of groups that are pushing for assisted suicide. They would call it euthanasia, perhaps, for people who not only are terminally ill, some of them are, but for people who aren't, as in the case of Jaina Van Voorhis. Rita Marker joins us. She's executive director of the Patients' Rights Council based in Steubenville, Ohio. Rita, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Now, is this just a case that fell through the cracks with regard to Final Exit Network? They didn't. This woman told the people at Final Exit that she had all of these medical ailments. It wasn't true. Turns out she was actually mentally ill, and yet they assisted her suicide anyway. Just fell through the cracks?
No. This is kind of par for the course for them. In fact, I've met Larry Egbert. He has managed to come to a couple presentations that I've given. And in fact, a very personable guy, as you could tell. Unfortunately, being personable doesn't make him any less dangerous. And interestingly, in the CNN interview, he explained that people call him a saint. He told me the same thing. It must be his standard tagline. But as far as this falling through the cracks, that this is that they're very careful about what they do, not the case at all. In fact, Final Exit Network has been around for a long time. It previously had the name Caring Friends, which was an offshoot or a portion of the Hemlock Society. Then when Hemlock became Compassion and Choices, then Final Exit Network kind of went off on its own, which was part of Hemlock at the time. And so you have these folks that go around and they advertise. They have billboards in New Jersey. They have billboards in Florida, billboards in California, saying, "My life, my death, my choice, call Final Exit." So they advertise their plans, and they they're in the business, so to speak, of being exit guides, and they send people to be with people who are suicidal to hold their hand. Now, there was a case down in Atlanta, in Georgia, that the Georgia Bureau of Investigation looked into, where they had put up a sting operation, and holding their hand was not just like, "I want to hold your hand to comfort you," but the charges included alleging that they had held a person's hands down, because the method of death is a plastic bag over the head connected to a helium canister. So this is not unusual. They are promoting this on a nationwide basis. They go to various places, whether it be senior centers or hospitals. I was speaking at a hospital in Montana a few years back, and I mentioned this. I was speaking to the staff members for their regular meeting, and I explained that I was aware of the fact that Caring Friends, as Final Exit Network was called then, had been actually planning to become very involved in Montana, and that what they did was that they went to hospitals and explained that they could be there to befriend people who maybe didn't have close relatives or friends, and so if the hospital staff knew of someone who was ill or someone who just needed a friend that they could contact them. They didn't in any way say what their type of help was. And just after I said that, the woman in charge of continuing education for the medical staff, she actually gasped and she said, they were just here last week asking to do a presentation. So this is a group of very aggressive people, generally what would be referred to as senior citizens, because one seems more benign if one is doing something like this, if they have a gray beard, as Larry Egbert does, and are soft-spoken and ride a bicycle and are concerned about the environment. And they feel that they probably won't be convicted because they're, after all, these benign elderly people.
Weren't members of Final Exit Network actually convicted in the lawsuit stemming from the death of Van Voorhees?
No, no. Not as far as I know. They weren't actually convicted of anything. But you could say that since one or two did plead guilty, then yes, in that case. But there is now another case going on in Minnesota of a woman up there. And there are cases of people who have not even done anything as far as a lawsuit because they are told they couldn't. Several years ago, I got a call from a woman in Florida who was just in absolute shock because she said that her husband had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and he was doing well. He was still driving his own car, doing all kinds of things. They were planning a trip to Mexico. They were in their late 50s. And she got up one morning, and she went into he wasn't beside her in bed, so she figured that he had actually gotten up and was making coffee. So she went in the kitchen. He wasn't in there making coffee. So she went into his study, and she found him with a plastic bag over his head and the helium canister and the directions from Caring Friends right next to him. They hadn't bothered at that time to be there to hold his hand. What they did was they gave him the information on where to order the plastic bag, which is referred to as an exit bag. And she was just absolutely shattered. She contacted the prosecutor. She contacted all kinds of people, and they said, well, there's nothing that they could do. Because this group flies under the radar as far as the law goes. What is happening is that they encourage people for suicide, and they become much more cautious in the last few years. What they do is they tell people what supplies they would need, the exit bag, or they can even get, as Derek Humphrey, the co-founder of Hemlock, said, you can go to the foils and wraps section of the supermarket and buy a turkey bag, and you can use that. And then you buy a party balloon kit at the party store, and you've got the helium. And they've got the how-to, everything from videos on how to do it. And so what the Final Exit people do now generally is different than what happened in Florida, because in Florida the woman found her husband with the exit bag over his head. They go in and they're there to offer, I call them cheerleaders for death, and then they remove the plastic bag and the helium canisters afterwards. And it's very difficult to detect that someone has died of helium poisoning. Now, one other thing that is particularly alarming, in one of their recent newsletters, they reported on one of their board meetings, and at that board meeting they discussed the need to reach out more to young people so they could get more young people involved. We can kind of see where that's going.
So how is it that some in the Final Exit Network plead guilty in cases like this, but they don't appear to suffer any punishment?
Well, again, it's a question of who's going to determine that. And you might get a sympathetic judge, and you have someone, a white-haired little old lady who says, I plead guilty, and the judge says, oh, well, she won't do it again. So it's much like so many cases, and we all know of cases where someone was guilty, in fact pleaded guilty to something, and they got a slap on the wrist at the most, and that's what happens. Most people are unaware of how widespread this is and how really insidious it is.
Or in the end, are groups like Final Exit Network, from what you can tell of their MO and then their behavior as you have tracked it over the years, are they, as they often say, about helping people who have no place else to turn, who have been given no hope by doctors in the face of their terminal illnesses, the worst case scenario that they often present as their stock and trade?
No, that isn't the case. In fact, when you look at the cases that are reported on Final Exit, and I say the cases that are reported, we don't know how many there are, just like we don't know how many actual cases there are in Oregon under their doctor-prescribed suicide law, nor do we know exactly how many victims Jack Kevorkian had, although he claimed about 130. In Michigan, more than half of the people that were victims of Jack Kevorkian did not have a terminal illness. Some had no physical ailment whatsoever. And so we only hear them talking about what someone would call the hard case, because after all, that makes for more acceptance by the public, and certainly good PR, because they can say, well, this is a person who, you know, was in excruciating pain, had nowhere to turn. The doctor said there was nothing else to do. This, in fact, is not the case by and large. You may have one or two unusual cases of theirs that would fit that description, but that would be unusual, not the usual. Their mantra is my life, my death, my choice, and there really are no restrictions on it. And as Larry Egbert made it clear, you know, he can diagnose people without ever seeing them. He can look at a medical record. Well, in her case, it wasn't really a medical record. It was just a listing of things. And so they feel that a person has the right to decide where, why, when, and how to die. And they neglect the fact that they are often dealing with people who are depressed, people who do have somewhere to go, but are, when people are depressed, sometimes they feel there's no place else they can go. And so they turn to a group like this who actually... and I know they wouldn't agree with my description of it, but who actually exploit them to further their own agenda.
And that was my final question for you with only about 30 seconds here. This isn't just about this person wanting to die or that person wanting to die. They have broader legal objectives,
right?
Don't they?
And in fact, what happens is when you have a group like this that is so outrageous, and then you have like a situation like in Massachusetts, this coming election, a bill to legalize doctor-prescribed suicide will be on the ballot. That proposal in Massachusetts then, in comparison, seems benign. And so it moves that sort of really dangerous initiative to the moderate middle, and people say, well, it's not as bad as. So they're doing a favor to the other people who are trying to change the laws to make doctor-prescribed suicide a medical treatment.
Rita Marker is Executive Director of the Patients' Rights Council based in Steubenville, Ohio. You can find out more about Patients' Rights Council at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Rita, thanks for your good work.
You're very welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Alvin Schmidt. He's Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. We're going to talk about two stories regarding Islam, the Egyptian elections, we now know who the new president is, and an Islamic terrorist group in Nigeria. Stay tuned.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
The latest Issues Etc. journal contains a confession. It's about my problem with the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Pastor Will Wheaton's journey on the Wittenberg Trail. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal today, issuesetc.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.